Hey goal friends, it's me, Adrian, or Aiden. Either way, I am the host of Susto, the podcast of ooky, spooky, scary stories. If paranormal, unexplainable, scary stuff is your thing, this is the podcast for you. Susto is the podcast of scary stories centered around Latinx cultures, and you can listen to Susto anywhere podcasts are available. And I'll even share your scary stories, just send them my way. You can listen to Susto every other week and follow at Susto Podcast online at TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for any and all updates on the show. Bye, ghoul friend.
Here on Earth, there are those who came before, ancestral spirits that inhabited the Earth before us and are still here along with the living. Today, we bring you the tale of the Tautaumona.
Hey everyone, this is MJ.
And Christina.
And we are Spooky Tales, and today we will be talking about indigenous stories to the, the Mariana Islands?
The Mariana Islands, yes.
Mariana Islands. Okay, so we're doing this in honor of AAPI Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Month, and for those of you that don't know, I married into a Thai Guamanian family, and my Chamorro family would always tell really spooky stories of spirits on the island. So I'm excited to dig into this.
Yeah, let's introduce our guest, MJ, though. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
We have a guest today.
We have a guest today. Everyone say hi.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Six. I am part one of three of the Canceled for Maintenance podcast. We talk about the nitty-gritty behind-the-scenes stuff of aircraft maintenance. In aviation in general, majority of the stuff that does get talked about is usually on the pilot side, very rarely on the mechanics. So myself and my counterparts, we like to poke fun of a lot of stuff and kind of give a little bit more insight as to what goes on the maintenance side, which keeps these planes flying.
An excellent podcast, and their meme game on Instagram is amazing. So
yes. Yeah, it's such a good podcast, but honestly, half of the people you work with and work for, they get on my nerves. Like, I don't even know them and I don't like them.
You get the blood pressure rising.
Yeah, I get my blood pressure. I'm like, who's this person they're talking about? What a piece of shit.
Well, likewise with you ladies. Besides, hearing horror stories, because I love horror movies. Just, I'm a weird person like that. But also telling stories from an indigenous side of the house, which hardly ever gets talked about. Or we talked about this offline so many times, whereas how certain tales almost match and mirror some of the stuff that happens in some areas of the Pacific.
We can thank the Spanish.
Yes.
Yes, we can thank our colonizers. But first, I do have a listener story before we start. This person sent it in via email, and if you want to send us spooky stories to read on the podcast, you can email us at spookytales@gmail.com or send us a DM on Instagram. So first, they thanked us for the podcast and for sharing Latin American stories, and I just want to thank you for listening. But story one, she sent in a lot of stories, but I'm only going to read one at a time because I don't want to use all of them right at once, you know? So my mommy Carmen grew up in Abasolo, Guanajuato, and had a mean stepmom that hated her for being my grandpa's first wife's child. When Carmen was about 4 or 5, the family went to church, but her stepmom said that she had to stay home. Parentheses, for what? Just to be evil and exclude her. Parentheses over. Yeah, that's messed up. Okay, so they go on to say, my mom was a good kid who always did what she was told, so she was playing in the living room. Suddenly, she felt chills and looked up. On the far side of the room, there was a woman, wearing a thin white dress with long black hair trailing down her sides. Carmen quickly noticed that the woman's feet were not touching the ground, and she felt trapped in place with her fear. Slowly, the woman began floating to her, coming closer and closer, and my mom began to pray that La Virgencita would protect her. The spirit was close to her before she could finally move again, and she remembers fingers grazing her back as she ran out the door. Carmen stayed on the steps of the house, waiting for her family to return. When they did return, her stepmom gave her a paliza tan feo for not staying inside, a beating for our Spanish challenged friends. But my mom said that she didn't care. She tried to explain, but knew no one would believe her. Now, when my mom retells the story, she always includes this part. Mi abuelito, my grandfather, was always looking for treasure on the property. Like we've heard so much on the podcast, there were rumors of buried treasure, and he was always digging holes but never found anything. Well, one day, they sold the ranchito and moved to a larger place. The new owners were remodeling and tore up the floor of the living room. Well, wouldn't you know, but they found gold coins. My mom said there were sacks of them, and the new owners were able to build a bigger house and had plenty of money to give to their children when they grew up. I have no other source than my mom, but she is as close to a saint on earth as you'll ever get, full of love and light, and she would never tell a lie. My mommy believes the lady in white was trying to tell her where the treasure was, but maybe a creepy ghost appearing to a little kid isn't the best recourse. I agree, and wow, how many stories of people digging holes like that in their house or property in Mexico are there? Because that's like one of the things my mom has told me the most. Like,
there's a lot. I remember my aunts and uncles would talk about my grandma, my paternal grandma, having like this well inside her house. And I was like, ugh.
Evil lives inside all wells.
I was like, that's gross. And she's like, wow. Yeah, you would just look down and it was like a pit, like a hole in the middle of the house. I'm pretty sure that's like that's where they got their like water from, but still. It's like there's something ominous about it. And I was like, I wonder if there's treasure there.
Yeah.
Like they're used to talk about there. I doubt it.
My mom always said that the neighbors in front of her when she lived over there in Mexico were always digging for holes like that because there was stories of treasure. But like you had to, there was like, I think I've said this before, but there was like a legend or rumor that you had to dig at night at midnight and then a ghost or spirit would like appear next to you as you were digging. And, like, tell you things, you know? And then so people that tried to dig and saw the ghost then lost their mind, basically. So that's terrifying. You know what? This story sucks because, like, the family after them got the gold.
Oh, so there was real gold.
Were you not paying attention?
I didn't hear all of it. Like, there's, I don't know if it cut off or something, but I was like, oh, it's just
your brain cut off. That's what happened.
That would be huge bad luck if they did that sort of stuff in any of the Pacific Islands.
Really?
They made a movie similar like that. Well, it's like, to me and my family, we just call it like the Hawaiian Goonies because it's almost verbatim like the Goonies, except it's in Hawaii. It was on Netflix. It was called Finding Ohana. That was the name of the movie.
Oh, I've seen that. Scrolling Netflix. Okay.
So it's kind of like the Goonies, but it's like Hawaii and there's a lot of Hawaiian themed stuff. And they mentioned that kind of sort of in the movie, and which is why I bring it up, like, because it kind of ties into what we're talking about. If you were to do something like that, if something belongs on the land, like it's there and you try to take it away, right? Because like, oh look, and like we're just gonna dig a hole and the ghost is gonna tell us where it's at and all this and that. If you were to do that, say in Hawaii, and you take that gold and left, that's like hardcore wrong.
Isn't that like the thing where you're not supposed to take like any of the rocks from the volcano? Because like I hear like a lot of people get some really bad luck when they take rocks from Hawaii.
I believe the word is called kapu, which I want to say translates mostly to keep out. Like, do not fuck with shit here. Don't take stuff from here because this is sacred. It now belongs to the spirits. Right. It now belongs to the land. It belongs to the spirit. So if you take it, that's like a giant disrespect to them.
This reminds me, I've played the promo before, but Ghost Lore of Hawaii is one of my new favorite podcasts. It's all about ghost stories from Hawaii, which I feel like I don't know how to pronounce it right. Hawaii?
I've heard it Hawaii.
So from what I understand, the rule of thumb was if the W is within the word, like say like it's the third letter, fourth letter, whatever, then it's pronounced like a V. If it's at the beginning of a word, like say Waikiki, then it's pronounced as a W. The word Hawaii, you see this little apostrophe looking thing just between the two I's, and that's the pause.
I have like the short notes about the Tao 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 Mona.
Help us. Help us.
Tautomona, yes. It's more or less pronounced how it's spelled.
First, tell us what the Tautomona are.
So this is going to be kind of an info dump.
No, tell us everything.
So Tautomona is indigenous to the Chamorro people in the Mariana Islands and in the bigger ones like Guam, Saipan, Rota, and stuff like that. Tautomona means for us, like ancestors or spirits. And these ancestral spirits are the ones that inhabit the earth and live amongst the living. The ancient Chamorro people of the Mariana Islands believe the world around them is full of spirits who provide daily protection and assistance in their tasks. But some can also create dangers, which is what most of us today understand of Tautomona. There's like a harmonious balance that exists between humans and spirits. And it's through this balance is how they get their stuff done, like build houses, plant and harvest crops, catch fish, hunt, in some cases, like wage war. And how they maintain that balance is how well they do. So with Tautomona, there's three different types. The first one is our elders and our family, like people who share familial ties with us. So all spirits of our ancestors, they're treated as members of the family. Those Tautomona, we call them by their names or by their, I guess, relation to us, uncles, aunties, etc. And it's believed that we're all spiritually connected and we have some kind of spiritual power, I guess, in ourselves. And then as we get older, it gets stronger.
Oh, it gets stronger. Okay. I don't know why I was expecting the opposite.
And that's the reason why, like, Chamorro people really respect and venerate their elders. They're getting better at it. They're getting stronger at it with this spiritual power and the spiritual connection. So once they die, they become full-fledged spirits. And then that's when you hear, like, certain stories, like, or mothers can curse their kids and be turned into fish or half fish.
Oh, okay. Like last time, like the mermaid.
And so these familial family Tautomona, they're the ones who majority people call upon to help them with stuff, like help us with our crops, help us with the harvest, help us with fishing, etc. And then these ones in particular dwell like within the family areas, right? Like say in this family's house, in this family's village, in this family's burial site. And then most prominently is the deceased family member's skull. Ancient Chamorros at the time would actually keep deceased family member's skulls because that's where they believe that where the spirit is mostly housed.
Wow. Okay.
And they would hold like ceremonies or celebrations for these skulls. Like they'll offer them food and drink, or if they get a good catch for the day, they'll give them the best ones. Or if they had a really good harvest, they'll give them the first take of the harvest. And so those are the ones they would most be called upon for. And in some cases, you can almost dare them to help you, right? And by that, they say like you would say something like to whatever spirit is around. If you ever loved your family, you would help us now. And that's kind of like, you love us or not, bro. Here we are suffering. You got all this spiritual stuff. Where are you at? However that works, I don't know, but I'm not one to test that. I'm not one to test that theory. So, but if it was me, I would play pranks on you, right? Like, oh, you're calling me? Got you. So now you're not only going to get it, you're going to get more of it, more than you can deal with. Bet.
Bet.
And moving on, the second type of Tautomona, there is the primordial spirits, like the ones that don't have specific family ties. And this is where like you have like forces of nature, like the wind, the water, the land itself, certain land features or like communal burial sites. And this is where we get majority of the stories you would hear is don't go in this jungle or don't go near this site where these kind of rock formations are at. And like I said, like these are the ones where we have a particular familial tie, but they're more like on the before everything side. Like this is what created the island. This is what created the sea and all this stuff. And these particular Tautomona or spirits, they don't necessarily communicate directly to with people. Like, you can't just like just shout into the void and then a spirit would just talk to you randomly. Like, for those ones, they would usually use like mediums, I guess that's the word, mediums, to talk on your behalf. And those ones we call makanas or makana, like meaning like a spirit counselor. Some like Native American cultures would call a shaman. So these are the ones that will speak on your behalf. You will go to this makana person and say, hey, I need this ancestor to help me with this. And then they'll plead on your behalf. And since these ones don't have any particular familial tie, we just refer to them in general as either grandmother or grandfather. The Spanish Chamorro word would be like güela or güelu, because we don't really know, but we know they're tied to us in some way. So we just refer to them generically as grandfather, grandmother. These spirits mostly inhabit stuff, like I said, like with jungles or caves, certain trees, rock formations, like I said. But they can also take on forms like bats, certain kinds of fish, octopus, coconut crabs.
They're gigantic.
So like makanas, they've kind of been phased out because you don't just see someone who just talks to spirits all the time. And I think we have Christianity to kind of blame for that, or the colonizers' version of Christianity to blame for that. Nowadays, we have what's called a surahana. It's kind of like a makana, but a little bit more dialed down, where they're more focused on medicine. Like, some person has some kind of illness, they'll have this kind of herb or this kind of tea to help you and stuff like that.
Curandero.
Yes. And these are the ones who are particularly, like, they have, air quotes, the gift, right? Like, they can see and talk and interact with these Tautomona spirits. And that's kind of like their gift from the spirits, is like they're able to communicate and have healing abilities and stuff like that. And the third one, which is every single ghost story there is from the Mariana Islands, is air quote evil ones. And I want to say this is mostly influenced by Spanish Christianity, because to them, like, anything that doesn't speak of a certain word from the Christianity vernacular is considered evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, these guys demons. Are practicing pagan religions? Heathens. Terrible, right? Heathens and demons, right? But with these evil ones, say, they can range from all kinds of varieties. Like, they're just being pesky, they're being very prank.
Like, mischievous.
And then you got the flat-out evil ones. An example, which I guess it's kind of sort of a Spanish influence as well, is the duendes.
Oh, okay.
So we sort of have something like that, too. They haven't really been described a figure. They just know they're spirits that kidnap kids, or they make kids sick, or, like, they steal their mind in a way where, like, they just stare off into space all blank and stuff. Again, with these air quote evil ones, majority of it is based on Spanish Christian influence, is why they're called evil. But a lot of them too, like, they're very temperamental. Let's call it that. They're very temperamental. So it's easy to piss them off, to get on their bad side. And then there are just some that just don't like the living in general and will whatever it takes to make their life that much harder.
Fair. I mean, fair. Like... Have you met people? I can't really blame them.
Right. And so, like, majority of these ones, like, so what do they look like? What would they manifest themselves as, right? I think that's a fair question to ask, because
that's what I was about to ask.
See? We're connecting spiritually now. So what they look like, it varies, right? Some of them can look like they're straight up human forms, or take a form of a human. Or they'll be a human with certain exaggerated features, like big ears, big nose, big eyes, whatever. Or they can be what most people see them, or what most stories see them as, is they're either white or they're very bright skinned. They have no face. They have no head.
So these are the scary ones.
Yes. Or they can take on the form of animals, right? Like I said earlier, with bats, certain fish, octopus, etc., or coconut crabs. Or they're just invisible altogether, or they take the form of certain trees, which is a big thing in the Marianas Island chain, specifically Guam. There's these certain trees that the second you look at them, like, wow, these look really scary.
Is it a certain type of tree? I know in the Yucatec Maya area of Mexico, the what is this tree called? I don't remember the name of the tree, but it's basically what the Mayan tree of life is. This tree is what the Spanish made the Ixtabay. She lives in this tree. These trees are evil now, but they were sacred before. And I can't remember the name of the tree, but it's always the same tree. Ceiba. It's the ceiba tree.
It's a pretty big tree, and it like has like vines or roots.
Yeah.
But it's like part of the tree. Does that make sense? But they have that like that feel to it, that like that tree is like the type of tree that should be on the cover of a horror novel or something.
But that's the thing, the tree was once sacred and now it's evil.
Yeah.
And that's the same with Chamorro culture too. We normally just refer to them as Totomona trees, like don't fuck with this tree. and it looks about the same as what you were describing. Like it looks like a regular tree, but there's like these big vines that just hang off of it. It just looks real like it would freak you out to be next to this thing at night. I'll say that much.
There's almost like some energy like radiating off of it.
Right. They can pretty much manifest themselves in any kind of tree. So, like, it starts off, like, say, as an apple tree. And then next you see these vines coming. Like, oh, fuck. Don't mess with this tree. It now belongs to the land.
Don't look at it. Don't. Talk about it. Look away. Walk away. Slowly.
There's also been sayings about with these spirits, not just how they look, but also like where you would find them. Most stories say like, oh, just don't go in the jungle. You'll be fine. Like, but you're on an island, which 50% of it is jungle. So
there's no choice.
Yeah. Or some houses are built in the jungle. What do I do?
The whole thing is a jungle.
What do I do? But it's more than just jungles. Like I said in the very beginning, it's the jungles, it's caves, it's certain familial sites, grave sites, certain parts of water, rock formations, stuff like that. I'm like, that's freaking everywhere.
Yeah.
That's everywhere.
Right?
You're stepping on it now.
Yes. It's everywhere. So like, what can they do, right? Like, most times when we hear ghost stories, like, oh, these ones like to rattle chains, or they like to they like to kidnap kids.
Poor kids. What did the kids do?
So, like, majority of them, like, they'll help you with certain things, right? Certain spirits are kindred enough to do that, or they'll give you like the gift, any kind of thing, right? Like, I can see them, I can talk to them, I can lift heavy things, I can see farther, right? Or whatever kind of superhuman type characteristic. And that's usually because a Tautomona spirit is a friend with you. Some of the stuff they can also do with you, they can either heal you or make you sick, like terribly sick, or they would follow you to whatever residence you're at, and they can either help you or hurt you in that same regard. There's that. with respect and disrespect. With Chamorro culture and Pacific Island culture in general, it's all about respect. And they manifest that word in different forms, like just respect in general, or in some cases they'll call it mana. It's some kind of like showing respect to some kind of like spirit currency, I guess. That's the only way I can really explain it that way. Is like you owe it to them to be respectful, right? And showing disrespect is like a huge no-no. Like, do not do this. And some of them they'll take really big offense to this, and then they'll do certain things to you, like they'll make you sick, or they'll follow you, or they'll just make your life miserable. An example of this is where you would normally run into some place where you do disrespect them is like, say you go into the jungle and you take stuff, which is like what I was saying in the very beginning of the episode. So it's not just trespassing their land. It's also if you go to their land and take stuff, I'm like, they're like, oh, you want to take my shit? But and at first as a kid, I was thinking this is kind of fucked up. Like, why are they getting so pissed? And then someone would say like, well, how would you feel if some random stranger bursts into your house, takes a shit in your bathroom and just walks out, not say a word the whole time? Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
And then not only did they took a shit in your house, but they also took stuff from it and left. Not just walk right in, do their business, grab your shit and left. Like,
You get cursed.
Everybody gets a curse. And some of the stuff they would do to you, like say make you sick, is incurable. unless you make amends for this. And sometimes you don't even know what caused you to get sick. Like, I don't know. I cannot get better. And in some cases like that, where you have no idea what's making you sick or how you got sick, is when you would talk to a Makana or a Sorahana, a medicine people, like, what the hell is making this person sick? And then they'll start asking questions like, where were they at?
To the bottom of it.
What did they do? Yeah. And then, so you need to take this person back to where they were, where they disrespected this Tautomona spirit, and apologize.
On your knees.
Like, deeply, gratefully, like, in the most, like, I am so freaking sorry.
Like, grovel.
Like, grovel. Like, I am so sorry. And then, and depending if they accept your forgiveness, then you won't get sick no more. Or though you'll be cured of your sickness. And some, though, are a little bit more malicious than that. Like, I'll stop after I'm done fucking you up. So, hit me with anything, man, because I can draw on this forever. Like, there's so much to this. And I'm honestly thankful that you guys are letting me do this, because there's hardly any written record for this stuff. And each of these stories, they vary from one clan to the next, from one island to the next. So, like, what I hold true can be completely different on another island. And it's in the same chain.
Wait, I'd never heard about these. So I'm so glad that you are explaining all of this.
Thank you again.
Yeah, I've only heard in passing, but I don't know, like, 100%. Like, aside from them, like, you know, it was told their spirits. And I'm like, oh, but what kind? And then, like, you're breaking it down. So it, like, makes a lot of the stories I've heard, like, more clear, if that makes sense.
Speaking of stories, are we ready for these encounters that I have?
Yes, here? I am ready.
So this first one is the account of a Dr. Michael Bevacqua. So in 2007, a local news affiliate in Guam called KUAM aired a series, The Tautomona Tales, and it features several accounts and interviews with island natives that have encountered the Tautomona. So the first one is Dr. Michael Bevacqua. And he is a professor of Chamorro studies at the University of Guam. And so he says that he believes in the Tautomona because he grew up listening to his grandfather's stories about his personal encounters with the island spirits. His grandfather said the Tautomona would usually show up and teach him a lesson when he was either disrespecting the jungle or his father. Bevacqua says one day in particular, his grandfather, who grew up in Anigua, was playing in the jungle, which was in the back of his home. He took a slingshot and started to shoot the birds that were on top of the stones without bothering to ask the spirits for permission to disturb nature or kill animals that inhabited the jungle. And so instead, when he felt the need to use the bathroom, he pulled down his pants and went to the bathroom in the jungle. While using the bathroom, suddenly two white feet appeared in front of him, and he quickly began to tense up. As he looked further up, he noticed that the rest of the entity's body was also white, and he freaked out even more. Then he finally looked at the head and noticed that the spirit in front of him did not have facial features. Instead, his face was smooth and white. Bevacqua says that his grandfather screamed and ran out of the jungle, causing him to lose his pants somewhere along the way. His grandfather was so scared, he ran around the village half naked and jumped straight into the ocean and wouldn't come out. This is amazing.
No, poor guy. It's so scary, but it's like
also funny. Yeah, this is great. Finally, his father had come to get him and took him to the jungle to apologize to the spirits that he offended after hearing what had happened. Bevacqua told KUAM News that this taught him to ask permission to enter the jungle and remove things from it. He warned viewers to err on the side of caution, even if you don't believe in the Tautomona, because you never know how they feel towards you, or if they'll feel like you're being a jerk towards the jungle and that you need to learn a lesson.
Yes.
Wow.
So funny story with like that village he mentioned, Anigua, that's about 5 miles from the village that I grew up in.
Oh my God, okay.
Well, again, this island's not huge. It's probably
15,
20 miles max from end to end. So But even so, like, that village particularly is not that far from mine. And there are a whole bunch of jungle sites like that where the reason why his was so prominent was because where he was shooting the birds was where his there was a laddie site. And for the locals there, laddie stones are extremely sacred. It marks where their ancestors were. It marks where their houses used to be. It marks where their burial sites were. So, like, just being around there is, like, pretty much, like, shitting on somebody's grave almost.
That's where he was going to the bathroom.
That explains a lot.
So, like, the balls.
Wow.
This kid had mess around in that area, for one.
He deserved it then. Like, it was well deserved. He literally got the shit scared out of him.
Yeah. He was scared out of his pants, literally.
Wow. This is, yeah. Okay, and then there's one more from that same series. So this is, yeah, from the Tau Tau Mona Tales from the news station. And it's from 2003. It's the story of Emily Sablan. So in the 70s, Emily had moved back to Guam to attend the University of Guam after graduating high school in San Diego. One day, while hanging out with her friends and brother at a pizzeria, she went to use the bathroom. While trying to enter the bathroom, she came across a cat who wouldn't get out of the way. Emily told the local NBC affiliate she let her anger get the best of her and kicked the cat. Oh. The cat tumbled down the grass and then just looked at her with its piercing yellow eyes. Not making anything of it, Emily then returned to the pizzeria, but she said she didn't feel like herself anymore. Soon after, she turned to her brother, took a bottle, broke it, and charged at him. As people tried to stop her, she passes out and spent the rest of the day in and out of consciousness before her parents decided to take her to the hospital to get checked. She spent 3 days in the hospital and also lost her vision and didn't remember much. Her little sister told her that while at the hospital, she had superhuman strength and had to be strapped to the bed a few times because she would wake up screaming, saying she couldn't see. She even broke the straps in one instance. Doctors ran several tests on her, but she was released on the third day when they didn't find anything physically wrong with her. Emily's family knew it was time to seek help outside of the medical field and took her to a famous Suruhanu. And the Suruhanu's name was Francisco Tenorio. According to Emily, the moment they approached the healer, he told her family that he knew why they had come to see him, and he told them that Emily had done something to offend his people. The Suruhanu suggested Emily's family burn a shirt with sweat and a blessed leaf. The family did just that, and while her father was in the backyard burning what they told her to burn, Emily's mother approached her daughter with a crucifix. As she laid the crucifix next to Emily, she then heard a loud screech, and Emily passes out. She then woke up a few moments later, feeling like herself and asking for food. Emily said she believes she was possessed by Tau Tau Mona, and the Suruhanu helped bring her back. Oh, man, so they can possess you.
And that goes back to what I was saying, like, with the whole thing with the gift, right? Like, it varies from what they decide to give you. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Sometimes they take possession of you, or they put something in you, and that it just makes you not yourself, if that's a way to put it.
Oh, damn, okay.
Yeah, if that's a way to put it. That kind of explains, like, oh, like, she could tear off the straps. For those of you who don't know, like, those straps are not, like, they're not, like, something, like, your kid just, like, use masking tape to take you to your chair. Yeah. No. These ones, like.
Yeah, yeah, they're sturdy.
Yeah, you really got to work your way to get this off. So, the fact that she was able to tear it off, period, and not hurt herself is saying a lot.
One more thing here. So, there's a show, I've never seen it, Destination Truth. Have either of you seen it?
I've seen this episode.
Oh, this one. Okay. So they covered the Tau Tau Mona in 2010, but they described them as a zombie-like creature, which, like, you, I mean, none of what you said, Six, even resembles that. So yeah, in the show, they said that they only appear at night, but, like, there's accounts that they appear, you know, at any time. The show said they appear to have decaying bodies and gaping holes, but, like, you have described them differently. But so this just seems like another way that Western media just changes stories. Yeah, everything. They sound nothing like zombies to me.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, no. And it's usually like they'll take a form that's most likely to make an impact to you, right? So maybe for these Westerners, when they said, oh, zombies, like, maybe they were like that for these.
They saw them as zombies. Yeah.
Maybe, but, or maybe that was their interpretation of it. Who knows, right? For all we know, they could have just said, what sounds cool? Let's look up some cool stories in Cuba. Oh, they got zombies in Cuba? Perfect. Let's just
bring that over here. Yeah, copy and paste.
Copy paste that story.
Yep.
Oh, have zombies, bro.
I'm so glad that you're here to explain all this, because if you look at that episode by itself, we would get like such a wrong account of what they really are.
Yeah, that's why I turned it off when that episode came out. I was like, okay, you're done.
Wrong.
Wrong. This first story comes from my Uncle Peter. So shout out Uncle Peter. Thank you for the story. Saved my butt. So he says, I have a personal story about it. It concerns a little river where fresh water streams through our village. And after one of the biggest typhoons hit the island, that was where we would shower and just take a swim. Well, my dad said, make sure you ask permission from the past ancestors who have passed on. If you don't, something might happen to you. Well, I remember having so much fun yelling with friends that then as I stepped out of the river, I had lost my voice.
Whoa.
Couldn't make a sound, went home and still couldn't talk. So I wrote down on a piece of paper to my mom what had happened. And she asked, did you ask permission from the Tautomona who still in spirit lived there? I shook my head in a no. She told me to go back and apologize to the spirits. This was like 2 hours of still not talking. So I went down the street to the river apologizing. And when I got out of that river and stepped in the road, my voice completely came back. True story. Uncle, my grandfather, and my great aunts were all there. And he's like, they all know what I'm talking about. So, a lot of the family members were there to witness my Uncle Peter lose his voice.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. You know, like, he's like, all making noise, splashed around, having a good time as a kid. And next, you know, just like, mute button, like. Yeah, I'm surprised it even went on for 2 hours, you know, just like, oh shit, get back in there, apologize now.
Yeah, I know. And my grandpa would talk a little bit about this, and he would say like the branches of the trees would pinch or scratch you, and that's like a lot of the stuff that he experienced is like the pinching and scratching from the trees on the island. And you're going to have to help me with this because I sent you the notes for what my cousin said.
Yep.
And I cannot pronounce that.
All right, I got it. So he said, Kosinya zu malaufen itanomu. May I pass through your land, right? Well, or it said Gwela Zangwelu, right? It means grandfather and grandmother. May I pass through your land. That's usually the thing you would say whenever you go into somewhere where you know particularly Tautomona are going to be, or it's perceived there are. Or even say like with cemeteries, grave sites, even if it's, you know, there's Christian stuff blasted all over the place or Buddhist stuff, Muslim stuff, whatever the case may be. It's not your religion, but it's on the island. You would ask anyway, because, OK, sure, like we're going to this is foreign religion, but this is my land, you know?
Yeah, it's just respectful.
Contrary to what most people would think is when you pass by a grave site, you're supposed to whistle, right? Most other cultures would say, like, you make not a single noise when you pass through a gravesite.
Never whistle, yeah.
Yeah, but for us, it's opposite. You want to whistle. And the reason why is because certain Tautomona that reside in gravesites, they get easily startled when people trespass. And most of the time when people go to the gravesites, it's at night because people are weird like that. Right? And so like imagine you're in your home, you're having a good time, you're watching TV, and then you just hear this loud noise and like, what the fuck was that? Right? And and so the whistling is kind of like you're announcing your presence, like, hey, I am here. Oh, okay, it's just a human, we're good. Right?
Yeah, we're good.
I'll allow it.
Right, I'll allow it. And that's kind of that goes into the punishment of it. It's appropriate to that person, right? Most times with the pinching or the scratching, and usually it's like this big welt or bruise that just won't go away for anything. Or it'll start small, it just looks like a mosquito bite, then it's like swells up to like, next thing you know, you're like, half your arm looks like a giant red birthmark. Like, what the heck is this?
What did I do?
Right? At that point, you should know. At that point, if that happened, you fucked up. And like,
you messed up A-Rayron. You know?
So I'll give my story on this one. Well, I have like, I'll think of the most recent one, I would say. Well, not recent, but one of the most prominent ones. It's kind of like a two-part story. The first part, it starts with my mom's brother when he was 10. So where the house that I grew up in, it was built like on this hill face. And there's this retaining wall that was like really shoddy built, like garbage. Like got it at wish.com kind of retaining wall, you know? really bad, very bad. And it was so bad, like they didn't even finish retaining the hill. So when it actually does erode, the hill would just erode to the side of this wall. Like, what? What is going on? There's like not even a wall. It should just be like a fence more than anything. That's more or less what it was. And this hill would erode to the side, and all this dirt and the rest of the hill would just erode to the side of the wall. Anyways, that's the setup. Where my house was at, my mom's brother's room was back facing the retaining wall and the hill face, and this erosion surface thing. He was a party kid, you know. He liked to make a lot of noise at night. He liked to listen to loud music, all kinds of stuff, like stuff like 10-year-old kids would do if they were to stay up late. One day, after a night of partying, he wakes up and his legs are covered in bruises, like bad black and red bruises all over his legs, top to bottom, from hip to ankle, covered in bruises. And he didn't know how he got them. And so he goes right into his mother, my grandmother, and he shows her the bruises. This is kind of like, good. My grandmother never acknowledged it, but the rest of the family kind of understood it, that she had the gift, that she could talk and communicate with spirits, and especially because she was an elder. So that kind of goes into the whole, as you get older, you get more imbued with this stuff or with the spiritual connection. So she pleads on my uncle's behalf to this Tautomona spirit that was inhabiting the erosion side of the hill. And I don't know exactly what she said to the spirit, but she was pleading. And then the next day it comes and all the bruises are gone. Never happened. So flash forward. Now I'm 10. My uncle's 30, or my mom's brother's 30. We're a bunch of dumb kids. We're throwing rocks at the erosion wall, right?
Who doesn't love to
We thought it was the coolest thing in the world. No. Like we're throwing rocks and watch the hill kind of landslide its way a little bit. Like, yay, look at it. It's like a...
Yeah.
Like a tidal wave, but it's earth, right? We all think we're cool and stupid. And I remember my grandmother and my mom would yell at us to stop doing that. But they'll say it in Chamorro. I can't exactly remember what they said, but it's more or less that you better stop or you're going to get punished, right? And like we're 10, well, 10 and under, like, whatever, we don't care, we do what we want, you know. Go right back to throwing rocks. Yelling at your toddler, it's never gonna stick. So nothing happened to me particularly, which I'm grateful for. That was mainly because my grandmother was alive, so whatever thing she made, she talked it up with the Tautomona spirit. I want to say it was like some kind of contract, right? Like, for as long as I live, for as long as we uphold this, don't do any harm. That's how I understood it. Or that's how my mother explained it to me. Flash forward a couple months, my grandmother passes away, and this big typhoon hits, and it just destroys this erosion face, like, gone. To the left of this erosion face, there was a mango tree that grew there, and for whatever reason, this tree would not die. Like, it's kind of like
resilient.
It's hanging on between the erosion face, which is constantly landsliding, and then, like, this little ditch that had like no soil underneath, but so you can see lived. Its roots. But it lived. And then after this storm came and it destroyed this erosion face, the mango tree was still there. But then we started noticing these vines started growing from the tree. Like, oh, no bueno, not good. And then ever since that happened, both from my grandmother passing away, the storm destroying the erosion face, and this tree growing vines, we started thinking like, maybe this Tautomona spirit migrated from the erosion face into the tree, hence the vines. And so, but then on, we said, yeah, no, we're not picking fruit in this thing. We're not doing shit.
Yeah.
this is now his tree or her tree. We're not fucking with this. And ever since we started noticing the vines, at night we would start hearing a whole bunch of banging and rattling. So like we used to party and do all kinds of dumb shit. And then we hear these at night and we're like, ooh, okay, turn the volume down. I'm sorry. And we would say that too. We would apologize. We don't even know who we're apologizing to, but we would just be like we start hearing the banging and then the rattling and like sometimes even these heavy footsteps back of the house and stuff. Like, ooh, okay.
Did they stop after you? Like, you were like, sorry, let me turn this down.
Right, my bad. You know, and imagine like disturbing the peace, but instead of the cops, it's like the ghost police. I'm like, ooh. Thankfully, nothing to me specifically happened, and I want to say that's thanks to our my now ancestral grandmother protecting us and stuff. But and especially my mom's brother would still recollect those bruises, like how bad it was and how much it hurt and stuff. So he would tell us too that you keep fucking around and you will see what happens.
No thanks. Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Never. No, sir. I do not
fuck around and find out.
I do not want to fuck around and find out. Thank you much. And the funny part about this is, say, like, they don't just stay in one place frustrated with them going into the tree. Send them enough, they'll follow you, right? I think there was a case or a story where one person mentioned that they moved from village to village and this Tautomona spirit would follow them, right? Until they finally make amends for whatever it is they did. And who knows what that was if you don't remember how long ago it was.
They can hold a grudge.
I'd be scared, though, honestly.
You really can't. But
and they seem, like, sentient, like, to the point where it's like, you can't fool me. I know.
All this stuff is really, it's also based on, like, the culture of upholding nature, of being respectful to your elders, of being connected with the spirits. Because it's understood that we need each other to thrive. And that's understood throughout all the Pacific Islands. And some of them, they might give names like, say, oh, this is the god of this, or this is the chief spirit of that. It's loosely translated to what Westerners will understand them as, but to whatever culture that is in the Pacific Islands, we just know that that's our way of living together. They just use those names to kind of associate it, say, because there's nothing written. So how would you explain this? How do you explain how profound something is if there was no such thing as a written language? Again, I'm kind of bashing Western culture for this because they would, they'll make it like pop culture for it to be scary and bad.
Bastardize.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Or,
bastardize, yeah, they really do.
But yeah, they'll take these tales and just ruin them.
Well, if you want to talk about bastardization and culture, for one, take example of the Hawaiian culture, period, right? A prime example is hula, right? Almost anyone west of Hawaii knows hula as, oh, it's that one dance show. They got a bunch of people in skirts and they shake their hands and then they do this whole twirly thing with a fire stick and stuff. Like, that is like a serious, gross oversimplification of what hula is. It's more than just you guys see at a dinner show. Yes, they do that, but there's more to it. There's a whole like onion layer to this. Something they hold very near and dear. And it's more than just like doing something because of a show or because of an event. This is like how they pass down their traditions. I really want to dig into this and see like just how deep it goes. Like that's how any of their culture even preserved is because of stuff like that. Another example is like in New Zealand with the Haka. People just see it as, oh, it's the rugby team trying to scare the other team, you know? Don't get me wrong, I loved it. I think it's awesome how they just like pretty much says like, I'm gonna eat your soul out of your eyeballs in Maori, and the other team's just sitting there and taking it, you know, like, okay.
What are they gonna do?
What are they gonna do? Right? But it's more than just that. Like it applies to everything.
It's like it's supposed to have like a lot of like, as you were explaining to it, mana, which I can't fully like comprehend because I feel like there's no word in English
right
to describe mana fully, but like the Haka is supposed to have a lot of that.
Yes.
And when people congregate together, it's a very spiritual thing.
And that kind of ties back to like how we are with Tautomonas, right? Like they're supposed to be epitome spiritual connection or epitome mana, like just being around them and conversing with them and interacting is like top notch.
Yeah.
That's why it's so essential to respect elders, to uphold nature, to preserve what you have. doing all those together is what creates all of this. It's supposed to work like this. And I feel like a lot of times we're oversimplifying this because like it fits on a cool t-shirt or it makes a sweet drink you would have on the beach, you know?
I do have one more story, and this is about like a little bit, I don't know if darker, but a little bit more scary for the person who was experiencing this. But at the same time, I'm like, I get why you are. No offense, but I get it. So Andrew is part of a group on Facebook called Chamorro People. And he was like, look at this story that just popped up as you were researching this. And I was like, oh, synchronicity, the coincidence. I was like, okay. So I'm not going to say the woman's full name, but her first name is Maggie. And she goes, so I am a firm believer in spirits, ghosts, demons, etc. So I have been on Guam for almost 4 years now. We moved in with my mother-in-law in, is it Agat?
Agate.
Okay.
Yes.
For a long time, every night I walk out back to have a cigarette, I would see a girl sitting on my neighbor's chair. She had fair skin and long black hair. She would just sit and watch me. She never hurt me, bothered me. She just sat. Well, I'm not sure when I noticed. I did not see her ever again. Well, we moved from my mother-in-law's to Pagachao into Gura housing.
Yep. So that's like low-income housing.
And she says, I know I may sound crazy to some, but I was looking out my back door one day and I saw her. She was standing in the jungle, staring at me. She was really pretty. I have also, since living in Pagachao, experienced seeing duenas. I don't know what that... I maybe she meant duendes? I don't know. Because, listen, okay, this is bad grammar right here. So I'm sorry if I pause a lot. It's just commas, people. Commas and periods, please. She says, not sure if I spelled it right, but he or she was outside my window. I have pictures. Now, here come the part where some may think I'm crazy. I believe there was a demon in my home, a succubus. I have pictures and videos. This demon doesn't like me because I show no fear. I laugh at her. This just the start of crazy stuff. So one night, it was late. I got up to get a drink. My storm shutters are open. The light out back was on. Well, not paying much attention, but then I seen a really tall man standing in front of the window. Weird thing, no face. I showed no fear. I simply said, hello, mister, I'm Maggie. From then on, I would see four tall men. Now I could be crazy or eyes playing tricks, but I have four banana trees, all four side by side. But if I am up late because I can't sleep or just having time to myself, kids and hubby asleep, I play my games, clean, etc. I'd see the four men, but it is the banana trees during the day. Well, one night, I seen the men. I was curious, so I walked to the door, opened the screen door, and I waved to them. To my surprise, one of them waved back at me. They don't hurt me or bother me. I feel a sense of protection from them. I believe there is something evil in my home. I hear doors close, I hear people talking, and I have pictures of things I can't explain what or who they are. My husband can't see what I do. A friend of mine, though, I showed them to her and her daughter, and they see what I do. Not only that, but I see a face. It always pops up when I least expect it. To high cheekbones, kind of big, slightly pointed nose. Eyes are really wide or big. I guess in a few pictures, I see a cat many times. One picture, there's a duende in my closet or behind a pillow. I don't show no fear. I just laugh at everything. They don't seem to like that very much. I have always been able to sense things or see stuff. I look at a tree or bush nowadays. Anything, if I have bad feelings, they're usually always right. I trust my gut feelings. Always. When I start to fear, I pray and I pray loud. I wear my cross and that seems to upset whatever is in my home. One day, I look out the kitchen window and I see a man. The man's face is the same face I've seen in my home. Tall, high cheekbone, slighter pointy jawline. And behind him, I see others too. I stood for about 20 minutes and watched them. I went out about some day. I will see someone or something on the jungle and they will stand and stare. They don't bother me. I'm respectful to them and I say hi or hello. Well, a few days ago, I noticed the banana tree was like moved. And they were dying, turning brown.
They kind of weird direction. One of them looked like it was holding hands with the other tree. Is there anyone that can help me make sense and has experienced something like this? Am I crazy? Am I seeing things? I have pictures to buy. I think in order to see, you have to believe in spirits. And a commenter was like, the Tautomona just don't like white people.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I mean, fair. I mean, when she said like she laughs when she
and she keeps
them,
doing it.
I mean,
she keeps doing it. Like,
I mean, you kind of had that coming, if you ask me. I'm surprised they didn't do more. You know,
the commenter was like, "Ma'am, your people did some shit, okay?" And that's so disrespectful. Like, if there's spirits of the, if you think they're spirits and you're laughing at them, like, come on. She gets what she deserves. I'm sorry.
That's why there's more than one, right? More than one's like, just, we're going to, like, all right, guys, check this out. We're going to catch her slipping. It's game on.
And now they're, like, she has, like, four or five. Because I know she says she has four banana trees. And during the day, they're banana trees. But at night, they're people. So it's like, ma'am, you got four. And the duende. And this pointy nose guy. And the faceless one. Like, ma'am, that's, like, seven. Yeah.
You're not wanted, like, here.
Get the hint. Can't stay with us. You're not liked. You're like, not welcome.
Every day, just like go around your house and say I'm sorry like five times, you know, or
and stop laughing. God,
leave some food out or something. You know, like really grovel to these spirits, you know, something.
Yeah, like water the banana trees. One of them's dying. You're not taking care of it. Cheese, like, I don't know, buy some like plant vitamins, make them strong, right? Something. Like, she's just like, oh, I'm gonna laugh at them, haha.
Okay, you're gonna laugh at me.
That's why she has like seven, like four to seven spirits just like,
that's
watching
my cue
her.
Man, like, I fucked up somewhere. I need to figure out what I did, who I did it to, like.
No, that wasn't even like a small fuck up. That's a big one. Everybody else gets one. She got like seven.
Seriously. Next time
she
posts,
the whole army,
like,
on
okay,
this
there's
one.
Three more now, guys. Like, what do I do? You leave.
I know. I don't know, man. You're in a casting couch episode at this point, man. Like, you fucked up, and they're gonna get it. They're gonna get their payback. I don't know.
I'm so glad that story just popped up.
Oh my God! Like,
right?
That's the audacity.
Terrible.
And of course she's, of course, it's the white people.
Terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
But it's like also kind of funny. Like, I'm glad it's not happening to me. Makes me feel better about my
Four
life.
To
it's
seven.
Like, well, today was a bad day, but at least I don't have seven ghosts.
That kind of goes back to what Christina's story about the Dr. Benavaca or Benvaca.
Benvacqua.
Benvacqua. Wow, I'm way off. But that's exactly what he says, right? Like, one day they're cool with you, and the next day, hey, babe, I'm fed up with your shit. and that's kind of like with any person, right? If you were a person, you're living your best afterlife, the last thing you want is someone to tread on your parade, right? Like,
yeah.
Who are you to do this? We're supposed to have like this harmonious homie to homie hookup thing, and you're
over here laughing. What?
Takes off spiritual hoops. it's on.
That's when that does the other seven show. Like, hey, cousin, come look at this. Look at this one right here. And it's one of those, like, when one cousin comes by and is like, he's got
to
tell everyone else, like, yo, look at this. Come look at this.
Right. Are you looking at this?
Like, yeah, and then you can tell, like, they're the gangster ghosts,
just
right?
Stare.
Because
let's
they just like,
stare.
Yo, let's just post up and just, like, just dog her down, you know? Like, does not do shit, right? We'll just dog her down and see if she gets the message.
Dude, I just come to a realization, if I was a ghost, I'd be the most weirdest one. I'd be, like, in the backyard doing all these, like, dances, like SpongeBob or, like, Squidward when he does the dance. And then I'd be, like, randomly, it's Britney, bitch. That's, like, me. And then I'm like, oh yeah, are you scared now?
I probably just dad prank someone to death, you know? like I'll turn the AC down, you know? Like, holy shit, it's cold, right? And I'll just whisper in the ear, all ghost like stand in the corner, right? And I'm like, he's telling me to stand in the corner, right? It's like cold as shit. It's like, say, I don't know, like 40 degrees or something in the house. I'm like, stand in the corner. And like, something's telling me to stand in the corner. And like, that once you're there, I'm like, not now you should be warm because it's 90 degrees. Ah!
Oh, that'd be so funny. Like, seriously, how come they're only like boring Victorian ghosts? We need modern day ghosts with like really funny sense of humor. I'm upset we don't have any.
Right? Yeah. Why don't we see that on Ghost Adventures?
BS, man.
But feel free, anybody, everybody, if you guys want to know more or you guys want to tell me what your families or what your clans think about these type of spirits or what your experiences were, by all means, hit up his Spooky Tales and tell them your stories.
Yes, please.
I have a feeling if I ever go to Guam, though.
You would do some shit. You would make the Tatamwana mad.
I would do some shit and be like, dude, what did I do? And I'll be like,
no.
Okay. Well, Six, thank you so much for coming on and telling us all this stuff that we had no idea about. I feel honored just to have been in your presence over Zencaster.
Yes.
Well, the honor is definitely mine. I'm not even half as cool as y'all. I mean, let's just put that on the table now. The honor's all mine, seriously. And especially to touch base with this part of our culture. It's not that spoken about, not that much spoken of. I'm terrible with English right now.
We all know what you're saying, though.
And there's like one thing, like, that the Chamorro culture is dying right before our eyes. So like documenting this and stories like this and word of mouth, really important.
That was another big feels moment for me too. So I'm gonna give you guys the big pats on the back for allowing me to do this. I'm like, here I am groveling. If you could see me, I'm actually groveling. So thank you seriously for having me come on and do this.
But before we end this, do you want to tell the people where to find you?
So you can find me and the rest of my team on Instagram at Kangs for Maintenance Podcast, our website, cancelforMaintenance.com, or on Facebook, just search Cancel for Maintenance. We're kind of sort of on Twitter too, but I think that's mostly just for polls and whatnot. Our biggest interaction is on Instagram. Or if you want to just email us directly, we respond as fast as we can. And you can listen to our show, Cancel for Maintenance, on any platform that you can listen to podcasts.
And you can also listen to them on our Haunted Fortress episode, which we each release. So it's the same on both ends. But actually, I edit a lot out. So if you want a longer version of the episode, you have to go to Cancel for Maintenance. That was around Halloween time last year. So yeah, if you want to go back and find that, do so. And yeah, thanks again for coming on. Any spooky recommendations? I feel like Finding Ohana is the one I'm going to watch. But yeah, do either of you have any other recommendations?
No, but if anybody wants to read the book I'm currently reading, I lost it, so I don't even know the author, but it's called Lore, and it's...
Is it based on the podcast Lore? It looked like the same writing.
No, that's different. Yeah, it's just like a, like, Greek mythology influences. It's not that scary, but it's well written. That's all I got. That's been my life. Oh, no, wait. I watched a movie. Well, was that one? The no, War of the Worlds, 2005.
I thought it was okay, but it's me.
I don't know. I don't listen. Just take it. The first basement scene kind of like got to me, and I was like, oh my god. Why are they fighting? Like what you said last time. Why are they fighting so hard? Just like, be like, come on. Take me. Whatever.
Train to Busan. Definitely watch Train to Busan.
Oh my god, yes. I love that movie. One of my top favorite zombie movies. It's on Amazon, it's free on Tubi, and then it's also on Shudder. But I watched it through Amazon because the subtitles were working for me, and they weren't working on Tubi. I don't know why. my recommendation, I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it, which is why I'm going to recommend it. It's called Uma.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to watch that one, too.
Sandra Oh. Sandra Oh is in it. And she is... I will watch anything with Sandra Oh in it.
Yeah.
But let me give you the synopsis here. A woman's quiet life on an American farm takes a terrifying turn when the remains of her estranged mother arrive from Korea. And... yeah, you have to rent it everywhere. It's not widely released, so it's only available for like $20 to rent. I'm hoping it shows up somewhere, but if it doesn't, I'm just gonna cough out the money because I really want to watch it. And yeah, if you find yourself in the jungles of any of the islands, Mariana Islands, ask for permission before entering unless you want the Tau Tau Mona to come after you.
And just know there's more than one. So
all of them, yeah.
as per example.
You could have 8, 7.
4 to 7.
And a duende somewhere in there.
And yeah, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for our spooky supporting us on Patreon. Monica, Winston, Modesto, Cynthia, Perla, Jesenia, Kristen, Dahlia, Mariela, Rene, Edis, Ghost Train, and Madtown Charity. Spooky Tales is hosted by Christina and MJ, produced and edited by Christina. If you're looking for more ways to support the show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/spookytales. You'll get access to bonus episodes, exclusive stickers and merch, and special thank yous. You can also buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/spookytales. And you can also buy some merch. Go to spookytales.com/store and you can see new shirts, hats, and I'm always making new designs to add to the store. And the best way to support, of course, is to just listen to the episodes and tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening. Stay spooky.